Hey guys, today I'm so excited to talk with Aubrey Westland. She is so freaking awesome. She's so passionate about what she does and she's just so good at stock photography. So I am so interested in stock photography. So this is a really fun and exciting episode to do with Aubrey. She is so knowledgeable, so wonderful, and so just freaking sweet. Like, I just adored her and loved our conversation. You guys are gonna love it so much too. And she has so much information and just so much joy about this genre to share with everyone. And I'm just really excited to share her thoughts with you. So it's going to be so freaking fun. So Aubrey Westland is a photographer. Westland is a photographer, stock photography expert, and creative business strategist. She helps creatives build multiple streams of income, including passive income, into their business so they can live a life of creative freedom. A former wedding photographer, she now spends her time photographing whatever she wants thanks to stock photography. Her work has been licensed by brands like Parents, Food and Wine, Real Simple Magazine, BuzzFeed, and more. She lives in Boise, Idaho, where she spends her free time backpacking in the mountains, tending to her garden, or playing make-believe with her five-year-old. I just love this episode so much. You're going to have so much inspiration. And I just really think you should go, after this is done, go check out her website. She has a great free download. She has a new course coming up and y'all should definitely check it out. I love this episode so much and I cannot wait to share it with you. It's going to be a freaking blast. All right, guys, let's go. Oh, and the question today, how do I get into stock photography? Hey guys, today we're with Aubrey Westland and we're going to talk all about stock photography. We actually have barely talked at all. Usually I'm like super chatty in the beginning, but we kept asking, like we started talking and everything. We were like, we should just record this. So Aubrey, say hi.
Hello. Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Sorry, there's a train, like, because it's really loud today.
It's okay. My dog just started scratching in the back. She's like jiggling her collar around. So, you know what? Whatever. It's just that's, I'm always like, this is a laid back conversational podcast. We don't need it.
Right. I like often record my podcast in my car. So I get it.
I did that the other day with one of mine. I got like a like portable recorder because I do like a local podcast too. And like I was sitting in the car like with the windows rolled down and I just had like the microphone up to my mouth. And then a bunch of people came and were talking right outside my car. And I was like, shipping yeah. I'm like, don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm often in like some park, like parking lot. And I probably look super sketchy, like recording my podcast, but it like, works hey for me. It's a pretty good, like little recording studio. If you find a quiet spot,
it is because it like, doesn't like, there's not as much background noise.
Yeah. And I have two dogs. Like anytime someone comes to the door, they're going to bark. So
yep, every time I've got two as well. And I'm just like, I always like joke to my husband, one of our dogs is named Einstein. And he's like, the booty of the dogs. And I'm like, it's never a podcast recording unless somebody hears Einstein. He has to let everyone know he's there.
Yeah, he has to say hi.
He's like, hey guys, I'm ready to talk about photography too.
He's got to show up for his fans.
So I'm so excited to talk with you about this because stock photography is something that is just, we were kind of talking before, like it's kind of unexplored by a lot of, I feel like, creative photographers. Like there's the info from the agencies, but I don't like see it like talked about a lot.
Yeah, like the agencies, they've got their info because they have to like, you know, they have to let their contributors know what the guidelines are and things like that. But it's just like, it's not delivered in a fun way to consume. Mm-hmm. It's not often updated, which is crazy because I just re-recorded my entire course after a year and a half because the industry has changed so much. Uh-huh. So they had, you know, they'll share the basic info that you need to know, but there isn't a lot of, there just aren't a lot of people teaching it or talking about it or sharing their strategies. So my goal is really to make it accessible to as many photographers as I can because it is just such an amazing untapped income stream.
And there's so much you can do with it. Like, I mean, you could sell photos of butterflies.
You can. Like, I actually have one.
You know, but that's what I mean. Like, You can sell photos of butterflies in your garden. Like, I think that is so freaking cool.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't stop at stock photography. There's like stock video and stock illustration. And now you can generate, using AI, you can like generate illustrations and submit them like that. So, you know, I think it's really a cool resource for creatives, especially like multi-passionate creatives who like to explore all these different things and make all these different things. Like, now there's a way that you can monetize it.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. No, I love it so much. I'm so excited about today. Okay, so tell us about your photography background. Like, when did you first fall in love with photography? You were a wedding photographer first, right?
Yes, I was a wedding photographer for almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. I'm actually one of those rare people that did study photography in college.
Okay, fun.
So I learned in the dark room. So that's like, you know, really where my love began was with film. Mm-hmm. And, but you know, in college, I was focusing more on like learning the craft of like developing your own photos. I wasn't, you know, thinking as much about, ooh, what do I want to shoot for a living?
Yeah.
And, so, you know, I kind of like, I was basically asked to shoot a wedding by a college friend, and that's where my career really began. I hadn't really thought about it as a career before that, because even though I like studied art in college, my focus was definitely more on like the graphic design side of things.
Okay.
So I always thought I would be a graphic designer, but very quickly after college being asked to shoot a wedding, I shot that wedding and I just fell in love with wedding photography. And yeah, that lasted for 8-10 years. It's kind of blurry where it ended because it was during COVID, you know, so like things definitely trickled off. But
yeah,
that's a long time.
Yeah, like I'm still shooting weddings. I think I will always shoot weddings because I freaking love a wedding. But for me, it was COVID was the turning point too. Like before COVID, I was like, I am going to shoot weddings literally the rest of my life, like 20 a year. Right. This is a sweet spot. I love it. And then COVID happened and I have 3 kids. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do?
Right.
That was mine. So I wasn't trickling before. I don't know about you, but that was my like where I was like, I've got to like look at other things too.
Yeah, I think a lot of us felt that way, especially those of us who had been in the industry for a while and were already like feeling some burnout.
Yeah.
And then that happened and, you know, all these things came with it. And I think like there was a little bit of like trauma from it for a lot of photographers, because now, you know, so many of the people that I worked alongside back then have moved on.
Yes, so many are not photographers anymore. It's like a whole new industry.
Yeah, we're seeing like this new generation take over, which is great. But yeah, a lot of us moved on from it, and at least in doing it full time, I would say.
Yeah. And I think that like a lot of them wouldn't have. I was talking to a photographer friend a couple weeks ago, and she quit photography completely and she's doing something totally different. And she's like, I don't think if there weren't a pandemic that I ever would have quit. And she's happy with her decisions and like moved on. But like that, like, I think like where a lot of us people, I'm in my mid 30s or almost late 30s now. So like a lot of my friends around that same age bracket, they just like within like 5 years of that, a lot of them just pivoted into a different career. Cause it's kind of that age where like people do pivot in careers anyways.
Yeah. And I think if someone had been thinking about it before, which I actually had been, then it was definitely like the final push that we needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So when you started looking at other things, because, you know, you kind of like, it feels like a big jump. And one of the reasons I'm so excited to talk about this is because I was always a little interested in stock photography. Like when I was kind of like not, when I was like, when the pandemic was in the thick of it, I was kind of like, what can I do? Like, what is a little bit different? And I thought about stock photography, and then I stumbled onto mock-up photography. That is like a type of stock photography, but very specific. And so like, that's what I do, but I like, there was no information about stock photography. And so that was one of the things that held me back from really, like when I found mock-up photography, I was like, oh, this makes sense. I can understand what it is. I'm going to do this now. So what was it for you that was like, what made you like, really dive into, because there's so many possibilities with stock photography. I feel like it can be overwhelming.
Right. So what made me kind of like want to dive in? So I guess first off, just to share how I first got into it, I was actually invited to a new agency called Offset. At the time it was new. And it's like the partner or like premium agency to Shutterstock, which many people have heard of. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to start this like premium branch with higher quality photos from mostly like exclusively professional photographers. So they started reaching out to people and I was one of them. And, you know, I said, sure, I'll try it. But I was like skeptical because, you know, stock photography, what is that? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, and I also had this view of like, it's very cheesy and like all these like corporate settings, people like smiling and shaking hands, and obviously looks very fake. So that was my view of it. And I wasn't really sure where to begin. And so I definitely put it off until like my slow season, you know, after wedding season, when things slow down in the winter. I was like, okay, I'm not making any money right now.
It's February.
I don't want to sit here waiting for inquiries for next summer's wedding. So yeah, maybe explore the stock photography thing. So I read their guidelines and I just started uploading what I thought I had that I could upload, and definitely got a lot of photos rejected at first because there are like very specific guidelines with stock and also like the quality guidelines. So, you know, I was just like stumbling through this, trying to learn as I go.
Yeah.
But once I made my first sale, I made like $150 from that one sale. And I was like, wait a second, if this is one sale of one photo and I can grow my portfolio, like there's some like legit income opportunity here.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, let's get to work. And I just started setting little goals for myself. So in the first year, like what was left of that year, I wanted to build my portfolio to 1,000 images. So I just, you know, I just started with what I already had, like going through my hard drives, photos from traveling and vacation, you know, like B-roll stuff, things that I didn't, you know, at that point I was kind of nervous to ask clients to sign a model release for stock. So I still had a ton of work that worked that I was able to submit. So I just did that. And I think it took me about 6 months to build my portfolio to that amount, to 1,000 images. And then it just started to like bring in that passive income for me. And so that's when I kind of like decided, okay, I'm going to look more at like strategies, and maybe I'm going to set aside some time to actually take photos specifically for stock rather than just like using my B-roll.
Yeah.
And I think that's like really when it took off for me. Like I was definitely making sales before that, but looking more at strategy and like what people are buying with stock and what works really well is what really like made it take off for me. Mm-hmm. And I also like started exploring other agencies. Sometimes you can send your photos to multiple agencies depending on your contract. So I started doing that. And yeah, it's really like such a numbers game too, though. So
yeah,
my focus in the beginning was really just like getting as many photos up as I could and like not being too precious about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. So I totally forgot, but as we're talking, I was part of Stocksy when they started. And then like years and years ago with Stocksy, and then I never uploaded. So I think I would assume I don't have an account anymore. It was like 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
And I can remember like you're talking about the guidelines. So was it weird when you were doing, because I'm now remembering some guidelines, like with guidelines after shooting for yourself for so long, were you surprised like at the kind of guidelines they had? Because like it can be kind of confusing, because when you're shooting for yourself or for your clients, you're shooting stuff, making stuff happen, and then you go and read those guidelines. Was that jarring at all?
No, I don't think it was jarring. I mean, it just gets tricky. Like when you're hired by a client to shoot something for them, like they own the rights to that work. They probably own, you know, the space that you're shooting in. So you don't necessarily need like a property release. Mm-hmm. They are their own model. So it's just like, how can you make this photo work for anyone that wants to use it for commercial reasons? And so you have mm-hmm. to look at those things like intellectual property. Does anyone own the rights to anything in this photo? So things like logos and like artwork, things like that, like someone else owns the right to that. So with stock, like they have to be really, they're really strict with those guidelines because like they don't want to get sued.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
By like Disneyland or something, you know, big corporations and big companies, they don't want other people making money off of their name.
Yeah.
So there are just like a lot of legal issues that you have to consider that the agency has to consider because like when it comes down to it, like that's their name on the line. So that's why they have like such strict guidelines for their contributors.
Yeah. So kind of like, it's no big deal. So just like one that we've seen in so many things is like a Starbucks cup, right? People use Starbucks cups mm-hmm. as props, right? And like when you're shooting a client, you don't really think about that because you're just like, oh, this is a cute Starbucks cup. It doesn't matter. Like it's cute, yeah. right? But you can't sell a photo of a model on a sidewalk in the fall holding the Starbucks cup. Is what I would assume.
Exactly.
The logo.
Well, shows. Technically you can.
Oh, okay. We'll see. I don't know. Like I do mock-ups.
No, that goes against everything I just said. So.
Yes. Uh-huh. So you like start laughing. I'm like, oh, I have an example.
There are different types of stock. So what I focus a lot on is commercial, mm-hmm. but there's also editorial stock. So the difference is, you know, when someone is purchasing what they're purchasing is a license to use that photo for a specific reason. Mm-hmm. So if someone wants to use the photo for any type of commercial reason, they have to purchase a commercial license. If they're purchasing it for an editorial reason, like a news story or like an educational documentary or something like that, they can purchase an editorial license. And there are different examples. So like the Starbucks okay. cup thing, like that could be submitted as editorial. And then say there's like a news story on Starbucks, they could purchase the license to use that photo in their newspaper or whatever.
Okay. I had no idea. And that is a game changer. Cause when I do my mockups, I don't want to have any logos anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
right.
Like I'll do like blank t-shirts or blank, like once when I was early on in my mock-up journey, if you will, I did a whole mock-up shoot and then realized that the girl had on a Chanel necklace.
And oh no.
It right here. So I had to trash all the photos because I didn't think to even check for those kind of things. Like I knew, but like you can't list a bunch of photos with a Chanel, like to sell for commercial use with a Chanel logo on it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the same thing.
But I didn't even know, like, I didn't realize because I'm not part of any agency and I don't know anything really about the stock world. I just know about mock-ups, that like you could do something like editorial licensing. That's a huge game changer.
Yeah, totally. And it's also kind of fun because then you can like take photos, you know, say you go to another country on a trip, you can take photos and submit those as editorial. So then like anytime that country's in the news, there's a possibility that like your photo could get used for that reason.
That is a huge game changer. I had no
idea. Yeah, it opens up more possibilities, which is great. You also don't need model releases for those photos.
Really? Okay. Yeah. That's fascinating. Cause the one thing that's always held me back from doing any kind of stock photography is that like going like with agencies and things like that is that all the paperwork.
Yeah. The model releases can feel overwhelming at first, but it's really not so bad when you get into it.
Yeah. Do you hear that a lot? Like that people are afraid of the paperwork?
I've had a couple people say that, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I will say like the agencies don't have a way that you can send a model release electronically. There was one that offered it and then they like decided to take it away. So that part is frustrating. And I'm just like, okay, get it together. Let's do this, because yeah. Otherwise it's like you either have to have them sign the paper form, or there's like apps you can use on the phone, but they have to like sign it on your phone. Or you're using like your own contract signing software. So That is my least favorite part right now. It's just like, it's definitely like a bump in the work, in my workflow. But you know, once I upload my model release, like I don't have to keep it on file.
Okay.
It's the agency, like they keep it on file.
So it's kind of like doing stuff. So I'm like of the mind, okay, this is really, I love this so much. So also love your whole story of you stumbled into it. I got excited and we jumped into other things instead of me asking you more questions about like, let's talk more about selling photos. So I'm someone who doesn't inherently believe in like what a lot of people think of as passive income. Like, I think that like passive income is like making interest in a bank, but it sounds like when you're working with an agency that you are just handing all of that over. So it is almost like making royalties, not royalty. Well, royalties. It's basically like making royalties, yeah. Like, but handled by the agency. You're not handling any of the customer service or anything. You're just posting the photo.
No, that's why like it truly is passive income, because you're uploading. I mean, passive income always requires an initial investment, right? Whether it's time or money. So you're doing that initial, you're putting in that initial investment of your time. But once that photo's up, your agency takes care of everything else. That's it. You don't have to market. You don't have to deal with customers, nothing.
Yes. And I agree that's truly passive, because I have two Etsy shops and a lot of education on the Etsy shops, they talk about being passive income. Etsy shops are not passive. There's nothing passive about them. You have to like before, I woke up this morning, I had like six messages, and not that six messages is a big deal, but it's not a big deal, you know, but you still have to answer. You still have to do customer service. Like, it's still something on your to-do list. But it sounds like with these agencies, when you submit the photos and submit the licensing information or releases for them, that then they take care of it from there, which is actually passive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do see a lot of people talking about passive income in different ways. Mm-hmm. And like, I can tell you, I've tried a lot of those things and they are not passive. They're either like, feel like a part-time job or a full-time job. Like, I have a course, for example. It's pre-recorded, but I am still answering questions every single day. I'm still responding in my DMs. I'm marketing it, right? So that is why like I love this, because it's the most passive thing. Like, as an artist, it's the most passive thing you could do.
That's amazing. I love it. That is so just like cool.
But it's hard. I don't want to pretend it's not like work. No. It is.
Yes.
but that's that time, like it pays off for years. So
That's amazing. And it really is like a kind of like you can put it up and then you don't have to go back to it. So you talked a little bit about this earlier, but like when you got your first sale, what was that like? Do you like remember what kind of photo it was, or like what your reaction to seeing that it was 130, right?
It was like, I think it was, I always have the number 150 in my mind, but it was, you know, they pay you a percentage. So even if like the prices like are simple on their website, you're getting a percentage depending on the license. But I remember it very well. It was a picture of my dog sitting on my lap from a camping trip. Uh-huh. And it was like kind of a bougie camping trip. Like we rented an Airstream, and they had like all these cute plaid blankets and like a lantern. And so I definitely like, it was like a little bit more of a stylized photo, which is like not necessary, but I just love that it was a personal photo. And, you know, it was from a vacation. It wasn't work at all. And so it was like, that's so cool. Yeah. Yeah, I'll always remember that photo. That first one.
I love that so much. That first moment. Like, and I love that it was a personal one. Like, it's just like so different. Okay, I love it. Because you don't think, like, when you take a photo of your dog, I mean, how many of us have so many photos of our dogs, right?
Dogs are really hot stock topic. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Yeah, they are. My old dog photos. That's so fun. But there's what's not to love about a dog photo?
I know. And like, they live with us. They're like part of our lives, you know? And I think the photos that do the best when it comes to like dog photos, mm-hmm. either like they're interacting with humans in some way, or they're like, it's some sort of like seasonal setting, you know, like a dog with like bunny ears on or something. Like, those always do really well. Or like, you know, cute photo of a dog against like a backdrop. Those do well. So yeah, there's, and this is where I'm talking about, like, the strategy comes in, because you start to see these things, like you start to see what sells over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then you take more photos like that. Yes. So you can make more sales.
This is so fascinating, because I have a shirt shop where I just do like funny like shirts. They're mostly like, I started out, I was gonna do just like some funny photographer shirts to add to one of my websites, and I was like, this will be fun. And it ended up being like this funny animal history book lover shirt, and I actually wholesale like funny like book tote bags like all over the US. So I have like funny tote bags all over, and like 25, 30 bookstores, which is so fun, right?
Yeah.
But when I started it, that is not what I wanted to do. I was just going to make some funny photographer shirts. And then you like look at what's selling, like you're talking about. It's the same kind of like looking at things that sell. And then you look at what's selling and what you like making, and it twists and twists and twists until it becomes this totally different thing. And you are taking photos of dogs with bunny ears.
Exactly.
Yeah. And having amazing time doing it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's, you know, it's like you get to mix up your routine of the things that you photograph too.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you do still a hybrid of client and stock, or mostly just stock?
I work like with local brands, and like, honestly, what I do the most is like unpaid work now, so that I can use it for stock.
Yeah.
So I'll like find people to model for me. You know, I'll like find a local business that needs photos and do a trade with them. I gave up my photography business to my partner. And so I just never really wanted to like make a new website or start a new business. So,
it's a lot of work.
I just decided to focus on stock and focus on my course. And like, those two things are like, fill my time.
Yeah. And I love that so much. So, okay. What is it like applying to stock agencies? Like I said, I was in one very early on. I think it was like 2013, but I don't remember anything about it except for like the back end of the website, looking at it like one time, you know? Mm-hmm. What is that like? And I guess it's totally different now, because that was over a decade ago. Like, what is it like to apply to stock agencies? Because you have to apply to most, correct?
Yeah. Well, no. Signing up, I guess, if you consider signing up, applying.
Okay.
So I have this great resource. It's called The Little Black Book of Stock Photo Agencies, and it's free. And I basically spent 6 months researching every agency, or like the top agencies, applying to them, applying my photos to them, like seeing the, you know, actually experiencing it. And I created this resource. And there are basically three different types of agencies. There are the micro stock agencies, which most people are familiar with. So that is like Shutterstock, iStock, Adobe Stock. The photos, you know, they sell at a lower price point, and their goal is to sell a high volume of photos at a lower price point. And then you have the premium agencies. So that would be like Offset, Stocksy, Getty. Like, those are the ones that you have to apply to, and they can be hard. It can be difficult to be accepted these days, because they already like have this reputation and they built up their portfolio. And so they're definitely more selective these days about who they accept. So that's where like you really have to consider, you have to think about your application and what photos you're sharing with them and almost like come up with a strategy, because it's kind of like applying for a job in that way. I mean, there's no interview, but, you have to put your best foot forward.
Yeah, like I would guess that like it's more about not like, do you need to match their aesthetic?
Sometimes, like with Stocksy, it's definitely like heavy on the aesthetic, I would say. But there are like different subgroups of that within their collection.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I that totally makes sense.
Yeah. They're looking, I believe, for professional photographers or people who are like at least putting out a lot of great work. So even if you're, you know, you just have like an Instagram page, as long as they can see that like you're consistently doing new work and they like your work, then like you have a chance at getting in.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Is it so? I like your thought about saying like think of it like a job application.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
I think like a lot of people expect, you know, to submit their website and their, you know, they may be submitting like their Instagram handle and things like that. And they expect the agency to like look through all their work and really like get to know them. Like that's not going to happen. You have to like impress them somehow mm-hmm. within like the small amount of time they're going to take to look through your application.
Yeah. I feel like you'd almost just want to like submit a portfolio.
Yeah. So I always have my students create like a separate gallery of work that is like specifically for stock to like impress this agency. So
that makes sense. Like a Pixie Set gallery or Pick Time or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And you can also submit like your website, but just keep in mind, like if you're a wedding photographer, they're looking to see that you can do more than just wedding photography.
And if you're a wedding photographer, you can shoot anything. That's my philosophy. Because absolutely. You have to shoot everything when you are a wedding photographer.
You can adapt for sure.
You're like, we can shoot everything. I love to say that like I cut my teeth photographing weddings because you have to learn how to shoot in all kinds of light and all kind of everything. I think it's one of the most
amazing things
about wedding photography is that it's like a springboard. Not that weddings are a springboard because they're amazing and they're the end goal for so many people, but you learn so much by shooting in circumstances, like environments you can't control.
Yes, I agree 100%.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I love them. I'm like, they're chaotic and fun and I love a little chaos. So like, it's just so fun, but like, I love it. Like you have to shoot in bad weather, you have to shoot in bad weather.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to, you know, adapt. If they say like, oh, we don't have an hour for this portrait session, you've got 10 minutes. So
you have to make it work. Yep.
How can you make magic happen in 10 minutes? And
yes,
I think, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Best wedding photographers know how to do that, to work really quick on their feet.
I know. Right. And just like get it done. You have to. And so I love that. And I love that you with stock photography, I keep going back to the photo you talked about of your dog, because that was your first one. Just like, yeah. You don't think when you're photographing a picture of your dog on your lap that one day you can turn this into something that makes passive income. And you did.
Right. Yeah. Right? I never thought taking the photo, I had no idea that would happen. So that's why, like, I think, you know, photographers, you already have the work, like you already have what you need to make money and it's just sitting on your hard drive. Like, get it off that hard drive and upload it and start making money off of it.
Yes. I love that so much. So I feel like that's probably your favorite thing about stock photography. I mean, why wouldn't it be? I don't know. But what do you think is the, like, if you had to think about your favorite thing about stock photography and like, what would it be? Would it be that like you have this work already out there that like you can pull and like then learn so much from, or is it just the overall experience?
I think that, you know, once you get past like the learning curve and you've learned how to upload your photos and everything like that, it gives you a lot of creative freedom because, you know, like I can partner with this really cool brand and take photos of them that I can use as stock, or I could just like set up a shoot of whatever I want. So, you know, like I actually love food photography. Mm-hmm. I never, like, you know, did the hard work to get into that industry, but I can do it now and I can earn money for my time doing it. So I just think like the creative freedom, it also like if you are struggling with burnout as a wedding photographer or family photographer, and you're just like sick and tired of shooting the same thing every day, this gives you, you know, the ability to go out and play and maybe fall back in love with photography again, which is going to help your career too. Like you're not going to reach that stage of burnout where you never want to shoot another thing again.
Yeah. I love that because there's just so many ways you can pivot and like different things you can do. And I love that about food photography because like, I mean, that's just not something that you, I mean, honestly, that even ties to wedding photography because you photograph food at weddings sometimes. And like, that's always like, I've never been interested in food photography, but I can see how somebody would get very obsessed with food photography once they start styling. And it's like, it's almost like it feels like if you wanted to, like if you love a styled shoot, you can basically just turn styled shoots into a different kind of income stream.
Exactly.
Pancakes with flowers or like a couple, you know, because those are both different kinds of styled shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, anything that you know, say you have a dream of getting into a certain type of photography, you can do it and you could actually be discovered through your stock photo, through your portfolio. Like my mentor, he started as a stock photographer. Like he wasn't a wedding photographer. He wasn't a studio. He was just doing stock photography. And now he's worked for like these huge name brands. Like he does commercial photography. They reach out to him directly now rather than purchasing his work through his stock portfolio.
That's amazing.
So it also can open up opportunities for you.
You know, I love that too, because I feel like something that we come back to a lot on this podcast, and I feel like any creative podcast, is things like social media, because you feel like there's people that are inherently good at social media and people who aren't super into it. And it feels like to succeed as a photographer, you have to do things like social media, but there are so many, and of course you do need to do social media. That's not what I'm saying, but it feels like this is just another way to get your work out there. Like your website is a different way to get work out there than stalking, like doing stock is just another way to earn income and to get your work out there.
Yeah. Get your work seen.
Yeah.
Sure.
So many ways. Like, I feel like it's been so interesting watching the photography industry grow. Cause it feels like, you know, when people become photographers, they're like, okay, I need to make an Instagram account. I need to just start posting things on social media. I need to start a TikTok. I need to do these things. And that's going to be the golden ticket for me. But that's the first step that everybody does. Mm-hmm. And then if that's not something you are inherently into, it can lead to burnout.
Yes, 100%. I agree.
There
are other forms of marketing. I mean, even beyond stock photography, like I feel like, you know, something that is really underrated is just like your client experience. Like a lot of my work as a wedding photographer just came from referrals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, imagine if you put the same amount of time into your client experience as you are like on Instagram.
Yeah.
Your business would probably explode.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And I love that because you can do that within, I'm assuming, something like stock, because you're the expert here. I'm not, but like paying attention to like what, you know, looking what you're talking about earlier, what sells and pivoting and like the dogs with the bunny ears.
Yeah, exactly. You can find little like hidden niches for earning money within photography.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay. So were you surprised that after photographing like weddings and clients for so many years that stock was even like an option?
I guess kind of, but I did get into stock photography pretty early on in my career.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was kind of something that I started doing like alongside my work. Like
okay, fun.
I did, I started kind of like a stock photo program within my wedding business or within my photography business, where like people could if they, you know, if someone needed a discount, I could offer them an incentive for like signing a model release for stock photography. So like,
okay, smart. I see. So you.
I'm still like doing client work, but and it doesn't have to be a discount. You know, it could be things like a free print or like print credit, like that sort of thing, like just an incentive. So sometimes I would like ask people after the shoot if I was like, oh, this would be really good for stock. So sometimes I would like give people a discount, like after the fact, like give them money back if they wanted to sign that model release. But I really just did it on like a case by case basis. It wasn't something that like I talked about a lot to my clients. So, yeah, it's just something that I kind of did when I knew like, oh, this would really double up well.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, and then kind of like on that same like topic, does it feel like as creatively fulfilling for you as like shooting client work does, or even maybe even more creatively fulfilling?
I think it's more fulfilling because I get to call more of the shots.
Yeah, I see.
You know, like when there's a partnership, like in a few weeks, I'm going to take some photos for a friend, like at her spa. So like, I'm definitely going to ask her, like, what do you need out of this? Like, how can we both benefit from this? So I make sure that they get what they want. But then I also have the ability to say like, okay, I really want this shot. Can we do this? Where, you know, maybe during a, like a fully paid client session, I might not have the like confidence to do that, I guess. Yeah. Like I would be more there, like trying to shoot what, you know, trying to make them happy and photograph them like in the way that they might want me to. So this definitely gives me more freedom to like be more creative and like, you know, think outside the box, I guess.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think that's amazing. And I love what you said about thinking outside of the box and being able to do just like new and different things and take charge at the sessions.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome.
Okay. So you obviously are teaching about stock photography, which I think is amazing. So and you have a new course coming out, and that's the Lazy Girl Stock Photography, right? Boot camp.
It's the boot camp. Yeah. Boot camp, so yeah. I like to do different types of workshops to like, keep my course students engaged, but I also open them up to everyone. So this one's going to be super fun because it's all about workflow and like making stock photography easy for you. Because the complaint I get most is like, oh, it's too confusing. It's too much work. Like I can't take, you know, you have to write keywords for every single photo. So like,
oh yeah,
like I said, there is work tied to it. And a lot of people don't, that's what, like what keeps them from doing this. So I've come up with like workflow hacks for myself. And that's like what this bootcamp is going to be all about. So for example, one thing that I did is I created a custom ChatGPT that will keyword my photos for me.
Okay.
So you don't have to like prompt it in any way. I've already trained it. I've already given it all the information that I know of what I want. Like when I upload a photo, I want you to give me 50 keywords. I want you to give me these types of keywords. And, you know, they need to be a mix of like easy to rank for and not difficult to rank for. And so like I spent all this time training this ChatGPT or custom GPT, they call it. And so that's going to be something that like I'm going to allow the people in the bootcamp to use and take advantage of and teach them how to use it. So that saves like, that just saves so much time.
Yeah. Keywords are huge.
I'm also going to teach people how to like do this on their phones. So like if you're just like an iPhone photographer, you don't want to have to buy a camera or computer, you can still do this. So I'm going to teach you like what apps to use and how to like customize your workflow for your phone. Also like say you have an older iPhone with photos that would be great for stock, but they're not high enough quality. I'll teach you the tools, you know, that you can use to make them higher quality. So Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be like the format. I'm delivering it through a private podcast. So you can be even lazier about it. You can listen to it on your way to work or get your coffee in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have like the private Facebook group where people can ask me questions. And then we'll also have a photo challenge, which will be really fun and like kind of teach you how to like build this into, you know, like 20 minutes a day rather than feeling like you have to set aside a whole month for it. Like you can just like small actions every day are what's really going to help you succeed. So that's the kind of thing that we're going to be learning in the Lazy Girl Stock Photo Bootcamp. And it's not just for girls, but it's for those who
identify
and embrace the lazy girl lifestyle.
I love it so much, though. It's so funny. It's like, yeah, you can do this. But I love that, too, because it's almost making it like stock photography is like, because it can be intimidating. Like, I've been shooting for, I don't even know how many years, like, I'm not going to count, a long time.
Yeah, and it's intimidating.
And it's intimidating. Like, even for me, I'm like, oh, do I really, like, do you want to go on that website and check out the rules? I just want to shoot, you know?
And I would also say, like, it's been, like, a boys, like, a man's industry, like, dominated by men for a long time. And I feel like that's why we as women may not relate to the way the information is given.
That's a good point. Yeah.
That's why I'm like, this is for the girls. Like, men, you're welcome, but I'm definitely like catering my branding and everything to make this fun for the girls.
Well, even like just that makes sense with stock photography because a lot of stock photography feels like stock photography, right? And so, but there's, and that I think means that there's so many possibilities for photographers who are interested in stock because you can do so much.
And I think the agencies realize that like they are in great need of diversity in their collections. So like diversity is huge, and like people that don't look like the typical stock models, like, you know, consider getting people that don't look like the typical like average white male in a suit, right?
Like, are you describing my husband? He's bald with a beard, so he's a little bit diverse, okay? Like,
you can still take, I mean, use your husband for sure as a stock model. Like, I'm all about like the low
hanging fruit. I'll give him fake tattoos and make him a biker.
My daughter, I have to pay her to model for me.
Stop it. How old is she?
I pay her money and we go to Claire's and we spend it.
That is so cute. I love it.
So she's still relatively affordable.
That is hilarious. That is so funny. I'll like, sometimes I'll pay my kids to like, this is gonna, so like you can probably see it right now, but like I have a ton of shirts I have to put away every week because I do mock-up photos every week. And it's just like hundreds of shirts, and I'll pay my kids to put them away.
Yes.
Like, put a timer on and then we'll bribe.
I mean, at least you're paying them. I never got paid to do chores.
I'm like, clean up mom's office. Thank you. Here you go.
Yeah.
$5.
Sure, they're all about it.
They are. They'll be like, do you have any chores for me? I want to buy something at the store. And I'm like, okay.
She always sees the pretty bracelets on the at the grocery store, and like she always wants to buy bracelets. It's so funny. So yeah, she's 5 and she's already learning how to work and save money, which I'm all about it.
It's adorable. I love it. So kind of like to wrap it all up, it's been so fun talking about this, but who, and I think I know what your answer is going to be, but I want to ask it because I think it's going to be so fun to talk about. Who would you recommend stock photography to?
I would recommend it, first of all, if you're a professional photographer, there's no reason you should not get into this. Like, you've got the work, okay? I also would recommend it to like people who just love taking photos of their everyday life, because that is a huge theme in stock photography. Like, brands want the same like authentic type of content that you're posting on Instagram. So if you're like a content creator, or you know, just even like a stay-at-home mom that loves photographing her kids, or anyone that loves photography, like this can become, like this can be a thing for you. And I have plenty of students who just focus on the micro stock and they do really well with that. So like, you don't have to be a professional photographer, but like maybe your strategies will be a little bit different. So, you know, and that's fine. Like micro stock, you're going to sell more photos and they're not going to be, the sales won't be as motivating as like a $150 sale, but it adds up quicker. So like I have a micro stock agency, Adobe Stock, that I send my photos to, and it pays for like my holidays every year, like that's the whole awesome. Season from Halloween through, you know, New Year's Eve. Like that's, I we save that my earnings mom. For that. So we like that. It can still add up. What'd you say?
We all need that as a mom paying.
Yes, you need that. So you don't have to go into debt every year.
I really need that playhouse.
I also paid off. This is like my big, like the first thing I did was stock photography. I paid off $40,000 in student loan debt.
That is insane. Amazing.
And that's why, like, I also tell my students, like, make these little goals for yourself, because, you know, if you wanted to replace your income, that's going to be a lot of work and it's going to take a lot of, like, it's going to take you years. But if you can like gain momentum by setting these goals, like, you know, maybe you've got like a credit card with like $1,000 in debt on it that you could pay off with stock photography. So, and it also makes it easier to reach those goals because like you've got your active income, you've got your job, but then like this can go towards like actually moving your life forward and like actually hitting these income goals that, you know, maybe your job has a ceiling. Maybe you can only shoot 10 weddings a year. You don't have like the energy for more than that. That's okay. This can be like your additional income to reach those goals that you want to reach.
Yeah.
Going on a vacation, like paying for the holidays, those little things, like it's very possible with stock photography.
I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been so freaking fun. Yeah. I'm going to download your little black book and look at all of the micro stock agencies.
Do it. Also, if you have an account on Stocksy, like try to get back in there, because that is like one of the best agencies to work with. Oh, really? One of my students just got a photo buyout on Stocksy, mm-hmm. and she made $5,600 on holy one crap. Photo.
Well, this is our
try to get into Stocksy if you can.
You should always take the opportunities and not just be like, oh, whatever. That's something that, like, having a long photography career, like, once I can remember, this is totally off topic, but I can remember getting contacted by an agent once in like 2014, like a big agent. And I was like, oh, this is spam. And I deleted it and then found out it was actually a big agent.
Oh, no.
Like, little things like that. Like, sometimes things like that happen. Like, you know, just take the opportunities when they come.
It's hard because there are so many scams out there. Yeah, so much noise. That's why I was skeptical of this agency at first, but I did some research. Like I found out, you know, I found articles about this new agency. So I was like, okay, they are legit. Maybe I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
But I get that. Like I'm always deleting emails and I'm just like, this seems fishy. So
yeah, so delete. Yep. I love it. It's so funny. Okay. All right. It's been so fun. All right, y'all, that was a freaking blast. Not gonna lie, as soon as I finished recording this episode with Aubrey, I went and looked up the different stock agencies she talked about. I downloaded her little black book, and then I recorded this on a Friday. This is actually a really close episode for release date. A lot of our episodes are recorded 3 or 4 months out, but I wanted to get this one up. So this one is only about a week old since the recording. And when we talked, I immediately went and downloaded her little black book, looked up the different agencies she put, and I signed up for two of them just and that afternoon. It was so fun. She is just so knowledgeable and so wonderful. Hopefully this is helpful for some of y'all, as I know it's been helpful for me. And Aubrey is just so amazing, so wonderful. And be sure to check her out, because her information is just invaluable. All right, guys, I'll talk to you later. Bye.